Again, I want to say good morning to all of you who are listening to this ministry, the Rock Christian Church. I'm Apostle Coletta Jones, the pastor of that church, and we're going to continue teaching lessons. Our purpose of teaching them is to encourage the people of God, and even those who may not have made that commitment yet, our desire is to encourage you to do away with myths so that you may understand what it really means to be a child of God. Some of the things, some of the requirements and that you've been told over the years weren't that people weren't trying to get you to come into the kingdom, but maybe we use wrong methods. But what we want you to know is that Jesus came to this earth to lay out a pattern, a life that we can live, and he wanted our life to be abundant. He wanted us to minimize our errors, our mistakes, or our life without Christ being a part of it. And so today I'm going to just begin to talk to you about the Beatitudes. These are messages. Our desire is to give you messages that will help you during this time. And the good part about God is when we come to him, when we ask him to forgive us, he's not measuring what we didn't do, or how long he has called us to come in, or how many times we've messed up, because no one can take the credit of living a perfect life. I don't care how much they try to make you feel like, well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this or that. We're not saved because of what we don't do. We're saved because of what Jesus did. And the fact that he did it, and we don't have to pay for it because it's already been paid for. Then after we come into the kingdom, the important thing is he wants us to understand that every situation that you and I will be confronting while we're on this earth, he has given us promises in his word. He has laid out a strategy that we will always come out ahead, even when it doesn't look like it in the eyes of other people. And so today, we're going to talk about the Beatitudes. If you want to know, when Jesus was here, this was the first series of messages that he gave, and many came from far and near to sit down and listen to what this man had to say. At that time, the Romans were in charge, and things were not going the way that they wanted them to do. And they were under hardship, and they were under a hard taskmaster. They were looking for a savior to come, and that his job would be was to put down the Roman government, to get them off of their backs, to prevail against the Roman system that was in place. As it turns out, Jesus' purpose for coming was broader than just to come and to get rid of a governmental system, because what he wanted to deal with was what was going on in the hearts and minds of his people. Today, he has not lost that message. Some of you are looking for him to come in, and we're all looking for a better output from our government officials. But you're looking to people who need the same kind of help that you and I need if we're going to live this life that represents Christ, represents love, represents unity and working together. So we want to start with the very first one, and that's in St. Matthew's, the fifth chapter, and beginning at the third verse. And it says this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." He's not talking here about a physical poverty. He's not talking about economic poverty. He's not talking about material poverty. He's not talking about physical poverty. But what he is talking about is spiritual poverty. He's talking about you and I maintaining a certain kind of attitude. You know, an attitude can change the atmosphere in a room. for the good, but it also can change it for the worse. You can walk into a room and have such a nasty disposition until it changes the whole atmosphere in the entire place. It causes people to want to leave. It causes the excitement of the moment to leave the room. Or you can come into a place where there's a little happiness, and because of the joy, because of how you present yourself and what they see in you, it can brighten up the entire room. There, it says it, for instance, in the New Living Translation, it says, God blesses those who realize they need their need for him. The God's Word translation says, God blesses those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. The Common English Version says, God blesses those who depend only on him. And the New Century Version says, God blesses those who know they have great spiritual needs. Does that fit us? For the most part, yes, if it's most of us. I don't care how long we've been in the service of God, and I don't care how far that we think that we are. There is still much room for God. There is still a lacking. There is still areas in our lives where we really need him to take on control. A good verse that helps clarify this is Psalms 146. And it says, the Lord God blesses everyone who trusts him and depends on him. That's for you and I. We've got to learn in this time and in the months to come that I've got to trust and lean on God. I've got to realize that he's my source to get out of whatever it is. He's my source to work out whatever needs to be worked out. And if I'm looking to anything and anybody else, I very well might be disappointed. But God blesses everyone who trusts him and depends on him. Nothing gets lost when God is the person you're trusting in. Nothing misses you when you're depending on him. Sometimes we feel that way because the situation didn't work out the way we wanted it. Things didn't go the way we wanted them to go. And so we feel left out. And much has been said over these weeks that we've been confined about us as a race. Us as a race dying more and having to do with our health. But I want you to know today, even in all of that, we've got to depend on God. We've got to ask God to reveal to us how we have depended on a system that we now can step back and look at and says it has failed. To be poor in spirit means that I have to humbly depend on God instead of myself. I have to understand that he's my helper. I have to understand that he's the one that I am to go to, that I can go to anybody else. And many times I tell a friend, or I go to them, or they come to me. But guess what? When I get with them, they're in need just like me. They're having situations just like I am. And sometimes if I listen to their situation before I tell them my situation, I won't tell them my situations because I understand what's happening with me. I'm right at the brink of throwing up my hands. I'm right at the brink of saying, to hell with it. What am I doing? I'm tired getting rid of all this. But then I have to humble myself. That's what it means. I have to come to realize I can't help myself, and I need God to be there to help me. To be poor in spirit means that I've got to understand my limitations, and I have to understand that I'm serving a God that is by no means limited. That instead of myself, because I know that I am inadequate, to handle all of my problems. I've got to look to him who I know is more than able to do exceeding abundant above all that I could think or ask. I don't have to pray no long prayer. I just have to be earnest about what I'm praying for. You know, there's been times in my life where I've looked to God and I said, you know what, God, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to ask you. I don't even know what it is I need to tell you because I can't put it in words. But because he understands and because he sees the heart and things you and I can't say in English that makes sense, he understands everything. So I want to give you some pointers, 5 points to express your dependence on God. Number one, I depend on God's wisdom and not mine. If I understand to be blessed by God, I've got to depend on his wisdom. I depend on God's wisdom, not my wisdom. In other words, I listen to what God says. I follow what God says to do, and I do what he says to do. I listen to him. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end, it leads to death. There's a way that seems right. How many times have we thought about that? I'm going to do this and I'll get this outcome. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get that outcome. I'm going to call this one. No, I'm going to go visit this one. No, I think I'll wait on this one. And then it seems like the right thing to do. But in the end, things were worse when I got through with them. So I can't rely on my own feelings. I can't rely on what I think is right because my level of thinking right cannot compare with the level that God is. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are different as yours from the earth is to the heavens, which if you look up, there is no end to it. That's how different God thinks in comparison to how you and I think because we're limited on our choices and we're limited on the information we get to make choices. But guess what? God knows it all. The Bible says there's a way that seems right, but it ends in a dead end. So the first thing to get God's blessing in your life is I depend on God's wisdom, not my feelings, not my thoughts, not what everybody else is telling me to do. I depend on God's wisdom and not mine. And if you want to have fewer dead ends in your life, if you want to have fewer defeats, fewer failures in your life, then trust, go with this scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your intellect, because it's never going to add up. Do not depend on your own understanding. In other words, don't depend on your own wisdom. Don't depend on what you think is right to do. Don't depend on your hunches, your feelings. Those will often lead us astray. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will. What is God's will? God's will is all you do. What is that? That's his word. That's his guidance. That's his direction. And he promised he will direct our path. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. What he's saying, there is no way around it. There's no way that I can depend on my own thoughts because I'm, again, God's revelation and God's thoughts and God's intellect cannot be compared in any way to mine. So what do I need to do? I've got to respect the Lord and turn my back on any other opinion but God. Oh, how many times have you and I gotten on the phone to get somebody else's opinion? And we sometimes, the person that we're calling, the person that we're talking to, we know that they're not going to tell us what we really need to hear. So that's the reason why we call them. And the person that we even think will tell us the truth, we don't call them. It's because many times, yes, sometimes God speaks to you directly, but then sometimes he sends a voice to you that you may hear him, that you may understand that God has you on his mind. God's wisdom and God's will are found in God's word. If you want to know what God thinks about a situation, go to his word. We're not used to that. As humans, we're used to coming up with our own conclusions, and we're used to going on doing it. And sometimes we don't even care what that decision and who that decision impacts upon. We're just moving because I need to get out of this. I'm tired. I've had enough. It's better. It's got to be something else better. But if we go to God's word, sometimes you will find in God's word where he says, just stand still. Just stand still and know that I am God. Sometimes he'll tell you, don't move. That's the wisdom of God. Because one move to the right or to the left will cause such chaos that it will cause the situation to be 10 times worse. When if you just don't move and don't say a word and allow the wisdom of God to direct you just to hold your peace, that's what will bring you out. Number two, I depend on God's strength and not mine. And in these days that we've been sitting, in these days that we've had to interact, you know, we're talking about people that we've been in the house with. Sometimes we've been in the house with our spouses for weeks. Sometimes it's been our parents. Sometimes right now we feel so overwhelmed because we've had to be there interacting, or we get into a mood and we go off. Listen here, God doesn't want you and I depending on our own strength, because it's not going to take you very far. Your strength is limited. God's strength is unlimited. Your strength is finite. God's strength is infinite. Your strength is exhaustible. That's why you get exhausted. God's strength is inexhaustible. God never runs out of energy. God, thank God, never gets tired. The only way you get through the darkest days that we've had to experience this last week's, several weeks, is that we're relying on God's strength. God doesn't want just you coming to him when you need him to do something. He wants us to depend on him. He wants us to come to him about everything. Psalm 71, 16 says, I walk in the strength of the Lord. That's the reason why I can get up in the morning and declare, today I will have victory, because I walk in the strength of the Lord. And so when I look at the television, when I see the reports, when some of it is so abysmal, some of it is so bad, when I look at the death count and it's continuing to go up, when I look at the number of people that have had this virus and the numbers continue to go up, and we don't go out and we don't know who has it and who doesn't, I'm depending on the strength of God. Psalm 71, I walk in the strength. And where is that verse? Again, Psalm 71, 16. And it says, I walk in the strength of the Lord. Here's what I encourage you to do. You write that verse, write this verse down. And when you get up in the morning, look at it and say, today, I'm going to walk in the strength of the Lord. God, I ask you to order my steps. God, teach me today. You know, many times we don't think to pray to God until something has occurred. But if we would ask him, order my steps today. Let me walk in the strength of your power. Let me know who you are. I can guarantee you that day will go totally different than the day you had perhaps planned, because you've asked God to order your steps, to walk in his strength. And whatever occurs that day, whatever you thought, whichever way you thought you would respond, guess what would happen? Because you acknowledged him, He's going to direct your path. He's going to show you what to do because you're in his strength. There's another verse that said, my powers work best in your weakness. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know how you're going to do it, when you're just so frustrated, when you're worried, when you're on edge. That's me. That's me wanting things to work out the way I have it in my mind. That's me wanting it to go this way. That's me saying, why isn't it happening this way? But then to walk in the strength of God, where he's keeping me calm, and I know it's him because I know this isn't my normal reaction. I understand what it means then to walk in his strength. So Paul says, I now gladly boast. I boast about how weak I am. I used to hide my weaknesses. I used to be ashamed of my weaknesses. But Paul says, not anymore. I'm proud of my weaknesses. Why? Because when I'm weakest, the power of Christ works in me and shows up through me. When I am weak, then I am strong. It is when I think I am ineffective, when I think I'm a thorn in the towel, it is then that I relax and allow God to do it. That's the importance of you and I allowing ourselves to walk in the strength of God. Number three, I depend on God's timing and not mine. Listen here, if any of us had any control over how we have spent these last weeks, it probably would not be in the house, probably would not be restricted to not going anywhere, to not doing anything. I think it was about the middle of March. I filled up my car. I haven't been anywhere. The car is still full. My nails aren't done and hadn't been able to go to get this done, hair done, and all those things that we rush, we do. If that had been the case, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure there's others out here. But guess what? God has a timing where he shuts everything down. A time where you and I can step back and reflect. He's caused us to, in just a matter of months, think about it. Christmas, our whole thought pattern was totally different. It was the hustle, the bustle, the getting, the giving, getting and in debt and running here and running. He shed it all down so that you and I may depend on him. This is God's timing because we never would have allowed it to be. I'm depending on God's timing and not mine. You see, it is your life. God's timing, the right timing is God working in the right way in your life. Listen, don't let this time be so filled with what's going on that you and I forget that God is in control. If all I think about is what's going on, what's going on, what's going on, how's it going on, then that's all my focus in. When am I coming out? When am I going to go back to my job? Am I going to have a job? All of those things that should have resonated with us over these last months are irrelevant. Because in God's timing, he shut it all down. Don't continue to sit there and not allow him to become the person in your life that he wants to become. He wants you and I depending on him, knowing that this is his timing. Some of us, we've had a second chance and a third chance, and God's been constantly talking to us. And we've been saying to ourselves, I'm not coming. I don't want to go to this. We've just been full of complaints. God said, I'm going to shut it all down. I'm going to give you time to reflect. And then I'm going to give you time to look and see what has happened. Psalms 31, 14, 15 says, I trust in you, O Lord. You are my God. My time is in your hands. Every one of us can say, our life these few weeks have been in his hand. You know, we were sitting around saying, even today, we were saying, nobody knows who they have connected with. that have had this disease. No one knows, are you the carrier of the disease? We know nothing. That's the reason why at present time we're over 1 million people, because we have no way to calculate who has what. We have no visible seeing that we can tell by looking at another person who they have. This is God's timing to extend your life. You that are even turning on the TV and for these last few weeks have been listening to us and listening to the teaching, this would have never happened had it not been God's timing. God's trying to get your attention. Don't pass me by. Don't ignore me. I want you to understand I'm the God of the universe. They're trying to figure out where it got started, but God knew it was going to get started because it was His time. So you got to say to God, my time, the time I'm here, it's in your hand. I can't brag about it. I can't even think about, well, I'm covered. I'm under the blood. I know that. I know we mean that and mean it good. I know when we say that as Christians, we're saying it because we really mean that we're covered under blood. But sometimes our response is arrogant, because you and I ought to be thankful. There were Christians that have died. There were people that love God like you and have died, was exposed to it. Not only did they die, other members of their family died. God's mercy and God's grace has extended your time, and you need to give Him praise because you don't deserve it. Neither do I. I'm grateful that God has given me additional time to carry out my assignment. Micah 7:7 says, I trust the Lord God to save me, and I will wait for Him. Don't be impatient. You know, it's getting warm outside, and the moment it gets warm, people start coming out, getting out. God wants His people to know everything that's happening is in His timing. And while I'm waiting, while we're sitting here waiting, you and I must understand God is still working. He hasn't taken a vacation. He's not asleep. He sees everything that's going on. So while I'm waiting, God is working. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Spend some time in thanking. While you're waiting, while I'm waiting, God is working. And God wants us to know that He is waiting, working on our behalf. I got to know He's working. My children, my grandchildren, my great-grands, God has kept them. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that God is answering prayer. My siblings and the other folk that I know, our church members, God is working on our behalf. God has met our needs. God is doing the exceeding, the abundant, the above all that we could think or ask. So I'm depending on Him, His time. Whenever He says it's time for us to come out, guess what? I'm okay with it. If He said we got to stay in, guess what? I'm okay in, because every morning I wake up, new mercy has been granted unto me. Number four, I depend on God's defense, not mine. There are always going to be people in your life who misunderstand you, don't agree with you. There will always be people around you who take what you say out of context, always be there to criticize you, always be there to judge and attack you. A lot of people think if I could just be perfect, then everybody would like me. Sometimes being in the house with each other 24/7, you done seen different things. It's not always husband and wife. Sometimes it's family members. We've seen different things have come out. Agitations, jealousies, upsets about little things. But God wants us to realize you don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to make people believe, I thought you were a Christian. Why are you up here worried? I thought you trusted God. I do trust God when I keep my eyes on Him. But the moment I take my eyes off of God and start looking at my circumstances, start thinking about my tomorrows, start thinking about how He's going to work it out, start thinking about I've been in here for all these weeks, start thinking about it touched my uncle, it touched my grandfather, it touched my aunt, will it touch me? And get my mind off of the fact that God is my defender, God is my protector, then I'm going to become worried just like everybody else. Let God be your defender. Don't defend yourself. God says every time you get under attack, get criticized, get put down, misunderstood, you have two choices. You can defend yourself or you can let me defend you. Which one will you choose? Which one have you chosen? Maybe in days past, somebody said something. They didn't mean it. Listen here, people are all bogged up in the house and can't get out and only can go to the front yard or maybe walk down the block. After a while, they become agitated. And so then we begin to pick on each other. Then we begin to pick out on stuff on each other because you're getting on my last nerves. But as children of God, you and I have to constantly be in prayer. And we have to understand that God is there. And when insults come, when I thought you were a Christian, I thought you said you were this, I thought you said God was this, you and I have to be able to let God fight our battles for us. 1 Peter 2:23 says, when they hurled insults at him, Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats back. Instead, he entrusted himself to God to set things right. That means I depend on God to be my defender. Do you hear me? They're going to say, I thought you, or they're going to pick, you know, when I said early, in an earlier message, unhappy people make other people unhappy. And you've got to strive to let nobody take your joy from you. Nobody get up and make you feel bad because they're feeling bad. You don't have to defend. You don't have to tell them God is this, that, and the other. You just hold your peace and God will take over for you. And may I tell you, he can fight it a lot better than you can. So all of your financial pressures, all of your money problems, when I'm going back to work. Some of you need a new place to live. Some of you looking for a house. Some of you got all kinds of things that now you don't know where they are. God is your defender, and he wants you to depend on him. Number five, I depend on God's wealth, not mine. God's wealth. What did he say? I own it all. And if you look around, you say, well, I still want this. Look around and see what he's already blessed you with. Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God will supply. It didn't say the U.S. federal government. It didn't say my job. It didn't say my family. It said, and my God will supply. What? All of my needs from his abundant wealth. Not your wealth, but his wealth that makes you secure, his abundant, because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Do you hear me? God. And I want to tell you, if you look around these weeks, he has supplied. I know some of you have been standing in food lines and some of you have decided that there was nothing to eat and you've lost your job and you don't know if you're going back to you, those of you who work in the restaurant business. But I'm talking to God's people today. I'm talking to you that have made a commitment to God. He says, listen, if I was hungry, this is what Jesus said when he was here, I wouldn't even tell you. He said, the cattle's on a thousand hill, they're mine. He talked about what he had, but because he was here in human form, he understood the point of lack. But he also understood that his Father owned it all. And even under these circumstances, our Father owns it all. He is able. He promised. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. The righteous. See, if you don't know what your promises are, you sit there because you're trying to figure it out. You're going here, you're going there. And sometimes because we are so fearful of being with lack, we hoard things. We got this, that, and the other. We're just running all over the place getting stuff. God said, I want you to trust me. I want you to put your confidence in me because I got it. I want you to depend on me. I'm not lacking. I don't have to declare somebody to make something because I've already done it. So let's do a quick review. Number one, I depend on God's wisdom, not mine. Are you talking to God constantly throughout the day? Are you reading his Bible every day? If you're not, then guess what? You're not depending on God's wisdom. You're depending on your own wisdom because you're not talking to him about your decisions. Not after you do them, but before. You give him the first choice of every decision. God, I've been offered a new job. God, I have an opportunity now to do X, Y, Z. Guide me. Give me the go ahead. And don't ask God to give you a go ahead and then do him like we do our telephones when we're looking up stuff. We want the answer right away. Sometimes in order for you to hear God, you got to sit and be quiet so he can speak to you. Number two, I depend on God's strength, not mine. Are you doing that? Are you walking in the strength of the Lord? Those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. Even when you get to a point you want to throw in the towel some way or another, a praise song or a song of uplift will come, lift you up, and cause you to give you just what you need just to wait until the Lord does what he needs to do. Number three, I'm depending on God's timing, not mine. How impatient are you? Plus or minus? Am I going? God, you're too slow. Am I going to take matters into my own hand? Am I going to find a man? Am I going to get a job? Am I coming up out of here because I'm tired of being here? What am I going to do? Or am I going to depend on God's timing and depend that he knows what's best for me? Number four, I depend on God's defense, not mine. How well are you doing on this one? Somebody says something means to you or on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. They say something to you. Are you anxious to respond back, taking up for yourself? Or are you allowing God to do your defense for you? And then we did number five, the source of our security. How are you? Where are you looking for your source of security? Are you allowing God? Are you depending on him? I'm so nervous because I don't have any money. I don't know if I'm going to have a job. Are you giving yourself to the one that owns it all? I say to you today, this is the first one, poor in spirit. Are you depending on God? Are you allowing God to become your source? And that are you glad because you know your source is the Almighty God? I encourage you today to make a public declaration that I'm from today on, I'm not going to be poor in spirit. Blessed are they who are small, poor in spirit. I'm going to realize he's my source. So I can lift up my hands and lift up my heart and lift up my face towards heaven. I can give God praise. I can give him worship because he's the one that takes care of me. So let us pray. Father, we thank you today for everyone that heard this message. I pray that in areas that we're not depending on you and we find ourselves depending on ourselves, depending on a system, depending on a government, that we realize that those things will fail us. But we come today to ask for your help. Strengthen us, God. Renew our mind. Renew our confidence. Let us understand that it is in you we live, we move, and we have our being. That with you, we can do all things. And without you, we can do nothing. We thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And may the God of peace bless you because you are depending on him.